This is a Fox News alert. Jury selection getting underway in New York. I'm Dave Anthony, and the big question in the first Trump criminal case is...
Can you be fair and impartial to former President Donald Trump?
Fox's Eric Schoen outside the court, where hundreds of potential jurors look at a questionnaire.
42 pages. Then, as part of what's known as voir dire, they will be individually questioned by one of the prosecutors and by one of President Trump's lawyers about their views.
There are also arguments this morning in court over evidence to be allowed at trial. The former president charged with falsifying business records in payments to keep an alleged affair quiet ahead of the 2016 election. Now, before going into the courtroom, the former president called it nonsense, an assault on America.
There is no case, and they've said it. People that don't necessarily follow or like Donald Trump said this is an outrage that this case was brought. This is political persecution.
And as he sat in court, the Trump campaign put out a fundraising email, calling it a witch hunt in big letters over and over, urging his supporters to chip in, writing, "They're after you." And the former president's the only thing standing in their way. Now, Trump lawyers again try to get the judge to recuse himself after imposing a gag order. Motion denied. 1 hour from now,
President Biden will meet with Iraqi Prime Minister Mohammed al-Sudani to discuss the situation in the Middle East. It comes as reports indicate the president told Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that the United States would not participate in or support a counterattack against Iran.
Fox's Trey Yingston, Tel Aviv, where Israel's war cabinet met today, considering that response to Iran's weekend attack. Almost all the missiles either failed or were shot down, some by American forces. Secretary of State Antony Blinken just said,
"The U.S. is committed to Israel's defense."
The FBI's opened a criminal investigation into the Baltimore Bridge collapse last month that went down after a cargo ship hit the bridge, killing six workers. America's listening to Fox News.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACUMA.com studios. 560 KBLU.
From the News 11's information desk, I'm Karina Basarte. We start with sad news. A longtime Yuma City Council member, Gary Knight, has passed away. According to the City of Yuma, Council member Gary Knight passed away Sunday at Banner University Medical Center in Phoenix. The City of Yuma says Gary Knight underwent surgery in Phoenix after he experienced a stroke on Wednesday. Funeral services have yet to be announced. Keep tuned to News 11 for your latest details. The City of Yuma celebrated their 110th birthday in the historic downtown Yuma on Saturday. The event started at noon as city staff passed out the birthday cake to those who attended. Yuma became a city on April 7th of 1914. Catch us on News 11 tonight at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
Donut, 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 donut. Okay, so what are you thinking about right now? Donuts, right? That's the way radio works. Get News Talk 560 KBLU working for you. Use frequency to get top-of-mind awareness to get your unfair share of the business in your category. Call me, Tony D, today at 928-344-4980.
Listen to KBLU from 8 to 9 every Monday morning to Life, Death, and the Law. Sean Garner and Adam Hansen discuss estate planning options. Learn how you can plan your estate using a will or trust to protect your family and secure your legacy. That's Life, Death, and the Law every Monday, 8 to 9 a.m. on 560 KBLU.
I always tell people I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle, for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope.
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson, and I've got the crew with me today. We've got Tom Sparks, we've got Cody Beeson, and we've got Martine. And Martine, you're not really with us too much, so this is a great addition to the team today.
Yeah, truly.
We'll see if you can give us some insights that we care about. We'll see, right? Martine brought something to my attention last week. We've been posting clips on YouTube, right? Of this show,
yeah,
Life, Death, and the Law, and our intention was to just like get our stuff out there. Small clips. What would you say, Martine? About 15 seconds each, or something like that.
Yeah, 15 seconds
to
a minute.
How do you select those clips?
Just whatever is the most funny or whatever is the most striking
to you. So
yes,
it's super
to me.
Subjective.
Yeah.
So it's Martine's greatest hits.
Yeah.
Of 15 seconds. Okay. And so you came to me because you were concerned. I could tell. I could see it on your face.
Furrowed brow.
So he's been posting these things, and apparently people are actually watching. I didn't think we would ever be heard. This is kind of like a hobby of ours, and we're like, hey, we can do this, so let's do it. But apparently people are actually watching these, and you weren't happy with some of the comments. Is that what I understand you to say?
I thought they were just funny, because the one that stood out to me particularly is this person that said, "You are certainly not familiar with the Constitution."
Oh, no.
I just think it's funny.
So would you say that the majority of the comments are positive, or are they negative?
I would say a majority of them are negative.
Someone said, at the comments.
Now I know why this video only has a total of 4 likes.
That's what they said?
They said that.
What's our like to dislike ratio? Probably like 1 to 3, 1 to 5?
Probably, yeah.
Wait, 1 like to 3 dislikes?
This one has 7 likes to 8 dislikes, so,
we're
getting up
even.
There.
For an attorney, that's great.
50-50. I'm good with that.
Yeah. I take those odds.
So this is what I said to Martine. I said, Martine, don't read the comments. Yeah. If I know anything about celebrities, you don't read the comments. And I don't know anything about celebrities, but I've heard them say, those that go down the rabbit hole of reading the comments and taking those to heart or actually believing them, they get beat up mentally, emotionally. So don't read the comments. Don't worry about it.
But that's the on-camera answer. You read the comments and respond from a separate account, so that way it doesn't come back to you.
See, we're new to this game. I don't know. But another thing I was going to say was, the first thought was, well, if you don't like the comments, just turn them off. There's a turn-off feature. But then I'm thinking, no, I want people to get a voice out there. I want free speech to happen. So the alternative is you just let it happen and just don't look at that. The comments, right?
Yeah, you can't take away somebody's free speech just because they don't like your content.
No, you just attack them.
Yeah, like I'm from a different account, yeah.
Well, no, I'm not that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, in my mind, I'm saying that person obviously lives in his mom's basement and has no – to those that are listening that are in their mom's basement, that's not a bad thing.
We're not talking about you.
But this person that posted on my thing in a negative way, it is a bad thing.
Unless you commented, then we are talking to you.
A loser. Loser.
Did you ever,
China.
Did you ever get any negative, response on your water heater video?
No. Yes. Oh, actually, I got a ton of negative response.
No kidding.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
That's just, hey, I'm showing you how to do this thing.
Yeah.
You got a lot of traction.
Yeah, and I was pretty clear about that up front. What are you laughing at, Martin?
I just think it's so funny. People will hate on anything.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point.
They're like, oh, you can't do it. So what Cody is talking about, my first foray into YouTube. Going viral. This was like 2010, okay? It was 2010. And the thing that happened was, I needed to install a water heater. Our water heater went out or something. No, I don't even know what happened. Anyway, I acquired a new water heater and I need to install it. So I go to YouTube to figure this out. This was 2010. And in 2010, there were no videos about how to put a water heater in. And so I'm like, okay, I'm just going to kind of feel my way through this. And so I cut the copper pipes. I sweated the pipes. I put it in line and all this kind of stuff. And I got the job done. Lo and behold, the water heater worked, and we went on with our lives. And I thought to myself, I'm going to do a solid to the world, to guys like me that didn't know what they were doing. Not that I did, but I worked my way through it. So I just filmed what I did and talked about how I did it at the water heater, showing the pipes and all that stuff. And that was it. And I'm like, whatever. I uploaded it. This is my first upload to YouTube, and I didn't look back. You know, I could care less. Well, fast forward like a year and a half, 2 years later, I get an email from supposedly Google, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, right. They're like, hey, we've got this money sitting here. We need you to give us a bank account number so that it can go to you.
Sounds legit.
Yeah, I'm like, all right. Yeah,
totally
like,
not a scam.
Why are you my bank account right. number?
And so I just ignored it. Like, I thought it was a phishing scam. And then, like, maybe 6 months later, I get another one. So I was getting repeated emails from supposedly Google for like a year and a half. And finally, I'm like, I did some research. I looked at like the IP address and stuff. And I'm like, oh, maybe this is legit. Because then I went back to YouTube and lo and behold, I had like close to 500,000 views on that video.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. And they're like, we want you to monetize this. Like you're ready. We can monetize this. We can blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. So I click some buttons, hooked up a bank account, and then maybe, I don't know how much flowed in, maybe $300 or something at the time. And then every month I would get, if it hit $100, then it would come into the bank account. And that happened for maybe like 6 months, and then it started to trail off and all these things. But that was my first foray into YouTube. And what Cody is talking about is that video, over time, people would just come on there and just blast what I was saying, what I did. They're like, that is totally not how you do it. You're obviously not a licensed plumber. That's horrible. You're going to kill everybody. The world's going to explode. It's like, okay. I was pretty clear. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing, but this is what I did.
Yeah.
And it seemed to work.
It hasn't blown up yet. Yeah. So.
And it's just funny to see the negative comments. No matter what, you've got weird people out there that just have nothing better to do, and they think this is reality. When I go on YouTube and talk to you over comments, that's real. It's not.
That's crazy people doing that.
Say it to my face.
Yeah, it's a problem. Like social media, for example, has given like global voice to everybody who used to not have one, who maybe shouldn't have one. And that's what I think. There's far too many takes in the world. Like everyone's got their take. I just don't need to hear it.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to hear our take, that's great. Like you don't have to listen. But I think our takes are pretty good. But I mean, of course I do. But that's the point is, I guess we just don't have to listen, and I think that's the moral of the story is you just got to know when to turn and not pay attention to someone who's crazy.
I love it. Like that that Constitution thing is like you don't even know the Constitution. It's like, okay.
I'm going to go.
You studied it. I studied it for 3 years. We practiced in the Constitution law every day for the last, 15 years. It's like, okay, you're right.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I'll give you that one. I don't know anything about the Constitution.
I probably don't know.
Never even read it.
So don't read the negative comments and don't read the positive ones.
Yeah, well.
Because the positive, they'll just inflate.
Go about your business.
Yeah, live life.
That reminds me, of Taylor Swift. Mm. Most stuff does.
Okay.
But that does remind me of Taylor Swift. She says something in her documentary, the first one, I believe. I think she's got like three on Netflix.
Do you know the name of the first one?
No.
Bad Reputation? No, I don't know what it is. But in it, she talks about this period in her life where, was it Kanye that came after her?
Yeah.
At the VMAs, I think, right? Yeah.
So at some point in the, like maybe 2010-ish around there, at the VMAs, Kanye came at her. And she was high as a kite. Like, she was doing well in her career and all that stuff. And then a lot of negative stuff came at her. And she got caught up in that negativity in the sense of she let it affect her. She took it in like it was actually real. And she went through a real low point there for a while. And she made – the reason I bring that up is because she talked about – she said something I thought was really telling. And I think it's telling for a lot of celebrities that reach that level is – people treat you like a god, if you will. And so anything to detract from that or to take that away, and it's almost like an addictive drug, that feeling. So when this happened to her, it like crushed her world. She was what the world was telling her she was. But in reality, she needed to realize, like, I'm a lot more than that. I'm, you know, I'm this girl that can do all these things, but I'm not just that. But she went through this whole thing. Why are you laughing about that?
No, no, it makes sense. I got you.
Yeah. Taylor Swift. She's yeah, it's our got Swiftie, the answer
it's our
to the universe.
Moment. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're about to arrive. I can feel it.
I think, like, to me, this online concept is more like a, I call it the Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
Because a person like Martine, he's super sweet in person, talks to us, you know, really nicely, but behind the scenes, he's on our YouTube account just blasting us and putting us on blast.
Yeah, I have so many Brenner's accounts, like, it's just crazy.
But I think that is the case. I've seen this in real life. I've seen people around me in my orbit, like, they're great people in person, but when they get behind a keyboard, mm-hmm. like
anonymity,
it just changes, like switches.
Yeah, well, it's like this whole concept of, you know, when you're online, you don't, people don't actually have to see you, especially if you're on a Brenner account. Like, people can just make an account that's user, like, whatever string of numbers, and they can say whatever hate they want, and they're not burdened by having to be like, by having to know that these people know what they're going through or who they are and why they're giving this hate, you know?
So I hear you to say it's like this concept of anonymity.
Yeah.
If I'm anonymous, then I can say whatever I want.
Because it won't come back to you. I mean, you have people that can dox you and, you know, like, leak your IP address, but not everybody has access to that.
So do you think that should be allowed?
Yeah.
Should you have a voice anonymously on the internet, or should you have to present who you are in all cases?
Well, I mean,
should we have legislation to that effect?
No, I think there should be, you should be able to create a burner account if you want, and, you know, nobody know not a single thing about you because you're just a blank profile. But I mean, if you want the liberty to express yourself and, like, you know, put your photos out there and put your name to all the things you say, then you should.
So you're in favor of no accountability for things that you say online?
Yeah, because it, like, at the end, whatever you say always comes to light. All secrets will be unreal.
Not necessarily.
I believe so.
You might think that the universe will somehow do that, but in reality, it might not ever happen. Tom, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that they should be able to say what they're going to say without repercussion. I think the freedom of speech is so important that we need to have that. And I think it's just incumbent upon the receivers of the information to be able to vet how reliable that criticism is. Like, okay, if I'm getting attacked by a burner account without a profile picture, you know, no followers, oh my gosh, right? Let's just not give so much credence to that. And then if you're going to take the time to have credentials and to attack mine and engage in discourse, then maybe I will take your criticism a little more seriously.
That's the thing, though, is what I'm saying is it right for a person? I agree with everything you just said.
Mm-hmm.
The idea behind the free speech element is absolutely correct. We need those ideas out there without repercussion.
Mm-hmm.
But is it okay to do it anonymously? Shouldn't a person be known? Shouldn't you be able to face your accuser and engage in that discourse and that free speech with the idea that there's not going to be a repercussion, but if you want to say something, I want to know who you are so I can engage with you and let's have a healthy discussion.
But additionally, you have to come to the mindset of, if you're putting content out there that can be traced back to you, you have to realize that some people's going to, like, everybody's going to say what they want to say, but you're putting the content out there of your own free will.
Yeah, that's true. I think also
you're saying that, let's say us, for example, we're putting these little clips out on YouTube. You're saying, because we're doing that, we are opening ourselves up to a litany of negative and positive. Come what may, we have to accept that.
Yeah,
by virtue
welcoming.
Of getting engaged in this market.
Yeah, you're just opening up to opinions.
So we have to be prepared for what comes from that if I'm willing to engage and put stuff online on YouTube. Cody, what do you think?
Well, it's no different than asking for like a business review, but these people aren't your customers. They've never actually dealt with you. They just have their own opinions, you know? And I got to go back to what Mike Tyson said. Like, you guys are too comfortable disrespecting people on the internet without getting punched in the face or something along those lines. Like, we as a society have made it way too easy to do that.
I really thought you were going to do the way that he would say that.
In the voice.
Mike Tyson. Yeah.
Social media. I'm not going to do
that. Social media. Yeah.
Made you all way too comfortable.
Yeah, Mike Tyson was here. He wouldn't say that.
Yeah, he'd punch us in the face.
I thought you were going to go getting the ear bit off. You know, I thought he was pretty famous for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew Holyfield.
That wasn't it. Yeah. He's looking pretty good. Have you seen Tyson lately?
Yeah.
He's gearing up for a fight. Man, he looks good.
Which of the Paul brothers was it? Was it Logan or is it Jake?
It's Jake. He's fighting.
So good. Like, that's inspiring to me.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I think, like, a legal principle that you were saying was getting at the idea of the confrontation clause of the Constitution. Like, in the Constitution, you have a right to confront your accusers in a court of law. So somebody can't just say, you know, someone else told me this, and then that someone else just can't not appear in court. If they want to say it, they need to come here and testify. So you have the ability to question them yourself.
And cross-examine
them, right?
Right. And so that's what I was getting to. So you go back to the founding of our nation and the free speech principles that were ingrained into our Constitution. Do you think that the framers of the Constitution and the founders of our nation contemplated an idea where the concept of being able to say whatever you can or whatever you want without a voice or a face to that?
I don't know. Look at Jefferson and Adams. I mean, they went back and forth, you know, slandering each other in the paper, but they still put their names on it. And a lot of the stuff that Jefferson was saying was not true. I mean, it was all.
Yeah, but the idea of a pen name has been around for a long time.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it conjures up. You think back then, what was a way that you could really smear somebody or give a outlandish opinion and without repercussion or with anonymity would be a pen name. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that happened during the time that
were.
Like the
1700s burner account.
That's the first troll. Exactly. Yeah, no kidding.
Absolutely. Okay, so they were aware of it. And they still said, no, we want free speech. That's what I go back to.
Mm-hmm.
But what do I know? I don't know the Constitution, like that guy said.
Yeah.
He's so right, that poster.
Yeah.
I should thumbs up and be like, I can't believe someone finally called him out on it.
Son of a gun. I knew it was you. Yeah. Martine's just back. I know.
Plot twist, it's Martine's burn account.
Yeah. I talked to Savannah about it, and she said, you should reply, thank you for the support.
Yeah. Thanks for the view.
There is a guy that we've got to go to break, but we'll talk about this a little bit more. But I follow on Instagram. It's Gordon Loves Jiu-Jitsu. This dude's a jiu-jitsu fighter from Texas. You know, why'd you make that face?
Because when I was at the sauna in the gym, these people were talking about him.
So, yeah, I started following him within like the last month or so and kind of doing a backstory on him and finding, you know, what is this guy about. And the reason I bring him up is because, like, he does not follow the principle of just ignoring the comments. Like, he'll get in there. If somebody says something that he doesn't like, he just goes at them. I'm like, you probably shouldn't say it that way or say it at all, but whatever. It's not going to ever go anywhere. That's my experience. Is like when you start engaging in that type of a forum, it's like you're not going to win. You never win. It's not a winning scenario. It's a lose-lose. We got to go to break. This is Life, Death, and the Law. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Starting off the work week, much like the weekend, with some sunshine and the temperatures just slightly cool for the middle part of April. But it doesn't last past today. Mother Nature's starting to crank up the heat tomorrow, and we'll be warm all week long. A breezy day today, 80 this afternoon. Tomorrow, the winds ease up, 90 the high. Wednesday, 95. Mid-90s again Thursday and Friday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Donors choose. Support a classroom.
Build a future.
Did you know that every year,
public school teachers spend nearly $500 of their own money for student supplies? Let's do the math. That comes out to over $1.2 billion a year. And that's just not right. At Donors Choose, we want students and teachers to have the tools they need for a great education. And now, more than ever, they need your help. Here's what you can do. Go to DonorsChoose.org and choose from teachers' requests that support reading, math, science, history, and more. Once a request is funded, we'll take care of shipping everything directly to the teacher. It's that easy. You'll receive thank you letters and photos from students and teachers and a report of how every dollar was spent. Teachers' needs have never been greater. Learn more at DonorsChoose.org.
Donors Choose. Support a classroom.
Build a future.
And Doug.
To celebrate everyone who's customized and saved hundreds on car insurance with Liberty Mutual, we got a savings siren that goes off every time someone saves. There it is! It's a really more savings, which really... Okay, a lot of savings. Little annoying now. Will you stop saving for 5 seconds?
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com. Savings may vary, underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company. Affiliates excludes Massachusetts.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson, and I've got Tom Sparks with me. We've got Martine. Pleasure to have you today. And we've got Cody Beeson as well in the studio. And we were talking last segment about this idea of posting negative or posting in general your thoughts and your comments without having any ties to you. So we're going to call that anonymously. And my question that I posed to the group here was, is that constitutional? Should we allow that? Or should we pass legislation that says, no, you can't post something unless we can know who you are, going back to the constitutional clause that says you have the right to face your accusers in a court of law. When we are accused of a crime, that's what the Constitution allows. That's why we have due process laws in place, and the Constitution allows for that, for me to say or come to court. If you're going to accuse me of something, then I need to know who accused me, and that gives me the opportunity to cross-examine them and to go towards their credibility. And so that's what we do all the time as attorneys, is we're going to cross-examine people and get to the truth, because when you cross-examine, you're going to get down to the truth, and the jury can see that when it comes out. And so that's my question, is if I don't know who's accusing me online in these posts, how do I confront them and have a healthy discussion or engaging free speech discussion about what's really true, and address their concerns and address my concerns? How do I do that if I don't know who they are? You brought up a really good point, Martine, about the bigger your celebrity, you don't think those that have a huge celebrity orbit should be able to ethically respond to posts. Tell us about that, because I didn't really understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so I was just saying that ethically, it doesn't make sense for, you know, like, let's say someone has a million followers, right? When these persons do ad placements and they do all these other product placements, that these followers will just go and purchase it because they like support them and they agree with their opinion about what is a good quality. But when they see that creator attacking somebody else for attacking them, it's all of a sudden makes it okay, because not only have these people developed a parasocial relationship with that creator, where they think they know them as a personal level, they're starting to treat it as if somebody attacked their friend. And so now, because of that one person doing it, it suddenly made it okay for all of the followers to go and attack that person. And then that's when you see that people get doxxed online and they get, you know, bullied tenfold from the one comment that they made. It's not ethical for a bigger creator to do it.
What do you think about that, Cody?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the game. If you've built up that fan base and they are going to defend you, that's part of it. I mean, free speech goes both ways.
What about Garth Brooks? You were talking about how his fan base can get a little rowdy.
No, there's a fan base that's after Garth Brooks. So they've actually had to lock it down. I kind of feel sad for Garth. Like, he doesn't have the ability to let his fans engage in his stuff, because there's another podcast that kind of attacks him.
What? Why, though? What
do they have? They think Garth? They think he's a serial killer because he's a little weird.
That is a true statement. I love Garth.
Me too, but he's weird.
If you watch any of his stuff, like,
He's out of
touch. Interviews.
I don't know. I don't even care about that. It's just like, what are you talking about? You're weird, dude. But whatever. I've seen him like, what, 2-3 times in concert. We were supposed to go to Vegas coming up. My wife and I, we had tickets, but now we have to go to some legal conference. So we had to cancel those tickets. But he's got a residency up in Las Vegas. I'm kind of like happy about that. I've seen Garth, you know. I know all this stuff. I've seen him a couple times. And but I didn't tell my wife that. And she doesn't listen to this, so doesn't really matter. So I get what you're saying about being a weirdo, but he's great. He's great when it comes to music. What about Elon Musk? So Elon Musk has experienced this, right?
Yeah.
He bought Twitter to with the idea of, okay, I'm going to open this up. We're not going to censor anymore. Let's hear what people really have to say. But if he's kind of like that Gordon Loves Jiu-Jitsu guy on Instagram, like I was talking about, like he doesn't hold his opinions back anymore. He comes out there, and I guess that to me, once you have that level of money, what's it matter? You're kind of like undoxable. You're uncancelable. What do you think about that, Martin?
I do kind of think it's a weird point where it's like you've already won the game. Like people can only try and bring you down, but you've already crossed the finish line. You've become the richest person in America. You've gone to, you know, like you've done all these things and all these feats that it's you kind of just get this like armor around you where you're not cancelable, you know.
Does Elon Musk have more credibility because he's a billionaire than the average person that posts on our comments, for example?
Well,
so if Elon Musk came in and he posted on our little YouTube clips that you posted something negative, would that have more credibility than a person that was, I don't know, like a 30-year practicing attorney?
I think there's more to him than just his money. You know, he's also like incredibly smart. So it's kind of like if he said something about the field that we were in, say, and then he like just came and told us like, oh, you guys are wrong, and then said a whole bunch of hate, it'd kind of be like, well, you know, he was also right about us being wrong. So I guess him saying all these other things about us are also true.
So you're saying he does have more credibility because he's successful.
I think that's the wrong word. Like, I think he has a lot of weight, but he doesn't have more credibility. So the things he says hold a lot of weight because he's got all of this, you know, this larger-than-life kind of character with all of his money, all of his success. So people listen when he talks, but that's the important difference is even if you like Elon Musk, you know, a person you really like can be wrong just as easily as someone you don't like. So it becomes incumbent on the followers of these, you know, celebrities to maybe take some inventory about, you know, what they're agreeing to, I think. But I don't want to eliminate the personal responsibility of the follower in order, you know, to put all the onus on the celebrity to say, you can't say anything that you want to say because all of your minions are going to attack if you, you know, you should never say that you should attack somebody. But even if they have an opinion you don't agree with, like, the followers need to have their personal responsibility in check.
Cody, what do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's up to the artist. If they have a good following base and they don't use him as an army, go for it.
I hate to do this.
What do you got?
But getting back to Taylor Swift, this is an election year, okay? And so the conspiracy theories are abounding. Mm-hmm. Not only does she develop this relationship, that relationship happens to win the Super Bowl.
She rigged the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So lots of things coming down in an election cycle, okay? I've been to her concert. And I can personally attest that it is a religion. It is a religion to those that are Swifties. If she would have said, I want you all, she just grabs the mic and said, I want you all right now to slice your wrists. There would have been tens of thousands of little girls in there that would have done that. They are so keyed in to what she says and hang on every word that she says and does everything that she says. And to going back to what Tom and Cody were saying, if she says vote for Joe Biden or vote for Donald Trump, her minions are probably going to do that. So she carries a lot of weight. Is it with those that love her and treat her like a religion, is that okay? Is that acceptable?
I mean, it's part of the game.
Does it make you mad?
Yeah, it's frustrating when like you've got somebody who can just snap their fingers and gain a ton of support when you think that maybe you're at odds with the way they think and the way they believe. But it's fair. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with it, but it can be frustrating.
I think it's just a new form of marketing now. Instead of, you know, like these advertisements, it's now these people that have all of these followers and all of this, you know, all of this like credibility to push around and all this weight, where they can just get paid by a company and they'll be endorsed and say, you know, go vote for so-and-so. And then all of a sudden you have this new generation of voters and all these other people who have never considered even voting before because it wasn't something that was interesting to them, now voting because, oh, Taylor Swift said to go do it.
Yep. What do you think about that? Is that right or is that wrong or is that – what do you think? But
we've seen that, though. We've seen that over the years, the Rock the Vote stuff, when they got P. Diddy out there to help you get the vote out. Remember that? Yeah, so we've seen them trying to do this influence peddling for years.
Yeah, it's nothing new. I just think it's getting to a larger scale now because of the social media and, like, the global status of celebrities. But, yeah, there's nothing, I don't think, inherently wrong with it. It's just unfortunate if, I think, the celebrity that has a lot of weight doesn't, you know, play for the team that you want them to.
I think it's a lot of power for one person.
It is.
Yeah, you don't need a network anymore. You do it with your phone. You know, and you get that message out. Where back in the day, you needed a network. You needed TV cameras. You needed somebody to go along.
You needed a platform.
Yeah, yeah.
And you needed to build that platform, like a Rush Limbaugh, for example, yeah, or a Bill O'Reilly. They had to build a platform over the course of years on a network, and they had their following. Now I can do it on my cell phone.
Yeah, and I think
or my YouTube channel.
The extension of that argument becomes something we've heard about before is, should the mass communications of social media not be treated like a private company, and should it be regulated, you know, like
a newspaper?
Like a newspaper would be.
The telephone?
So, jump into that a little bit, because you nuanced, this is a legal concept that Tom is talking about. Newspapers are held to a higher standard, especially when it comes to libel and slander. What are you talking about? So why would a YouTube comment section be different legally regarding liability for something that's said in that comment section, as opposed to like the New York Times? So if the New York Times runs an article that is later on found to be untrue, mm-hmm, and it hurt the person that they wrote about, let's say it's a celebrity, and that celebrity, I don't know, owns a lot of real estate or something like that, and they once ran for president or something, and they wrote an article about that person that was false, and it caused that person to lose a lot of money because of that article. It was detrimental to them. That's what we call slander or libel. The general legal concept is, not only is the New York Times responsible for that, and they're going to be held accountable for that in a court of law, they could be fined, they can, you know, a lot of things can happen to them. But anybody that published what they published after that is also liable. So it's like this chain domino effect. So newspapers are held to a higher standard than a YouTube. Why?
Well, what if it's a letter to the editor? Are you still held to that standard?
That's a good question.
If you're publishing somebody else's.
I don't think so. No, because that's an opinion.
Okay.
So it's your normal articles that are written.
Well, sorry, just for me, it kind of makes sense because it's like the company is publishing this and they have, you know, articles to choose from. It's not like I can just go to the newspaper and be like, I want to write this specifically. It's going to go through a team of editors. Like, it's going to get filtered to the point where it's all, where now it makes sense that the New York Times in this example is putting their kind of seal of approval, saying that, yes, this is something that we want to associate with. Whereas a comment section, it doesn't get filtered through anybody. I mean, except like YouTube's like hate, like slander filters, but it just makes sense in that aspect.
Yeah, there's a famous case about the New York Times. It's New York Times v. Sullivan, where like we have some famous, you know, case law about, you know, libel and slander. And I won't get into too much of the nitty gritty because honestly, I couldn't pull all of the facts off the top of my head. But in summary, the case is about the New York Times having to be setting case law precedent that makes future publishers have to prove that they knew that something was a lie and they published it anyway, and it was detrimental to the person's, you know, livelihood or character. So there's this onus that's put on somebody who thinks they've had something bad said about them to be able to prove that not only was that not true, but you knew it wasn't true and you published it anyway to my detriment. And that's a pretty high standard to hold.
So you've probably heard, those that are listening, of this Section 230. This is thrown around a lot in the legislature federally because when it comes to social media platforms such as YouTube or Twitter, now X, Truth Social, they have an exemption from this libel or slander type ruling that the New York Times is subject to, the LA Times, the Yuma Sun, they are all subject to libel and slander claims if they're knowingly publishing something that's false. So that's why from time to time, if they find out that they did something false, they have to print a
retraction.
A retraction, or they're going to face some sort of probably legal repercussions. Not that some boogeyman's going to file an action against them. It's the person that you hurt or that you slandered. They have the impetus to come, or it has to start with them. The genesis starts with them bringing action against that actor, like the New York Times or the LA Post or whatever. And when it comes to YouTube, social media, our legislature has said, well, commenters on True Social or on X or on YouTube is not going to subject those companies to liability like New York Times would be held, because and under the idea that Section 230 exempts those types of organizations because they don't have control. They can't control what an individual gets on. They're just a platform. They're not a publisher. That's really what it comes down to. And so that's their kind of scapegoat. That's why Facebook, X, they all claim, well, we're exempt. We can't be held liable for somebody saying something wrong or hateful on our platforms. The problem becomes, or what we've seen in this last election cycle, in my opinion, is that when that private actor becomes their own censory board and they become the arbiters of what's true and what's not true and what they're going to release to us as a public or what they're going to edit or not edit, that's a challenge. Now, to me, you've crossed the line. Now you are a publisher.
Right.
You're either going to let the free flow of ideas and not get engaged in that. And that's what Elon Musk was saying when he bought X or Twitter. He said, no, this is a platform. We're not going to censor. We're not going to determine who has good ideas and who has bad ideas. We're going to let it all flow. That is a true platform that would be idea that would be under Section 230. Once you, in my opinion, once you cross the line, you say, no, we are going to crack down on hate speech. We're going to crack down on this, that, or the other. Now you're a publisher. Now you're determining what I get to see or what I believe
right.
in reality.
I think, too, like just for a basic analogy before we go to break here, is it's like if you had a megaphone, for example, and you let your buddy borrow it and say, hey, with this megaphone, you can speak a lot louder, more people can hear you, but I don't want you to say anything I don't agree with, then you have the right to take that megaphone from him. Or if he starts spewing something that you don't believe, you say, hey, give me my megaphone back. You can't use it. And that's essentially originally what social media was compared to, is this is just a way to have a louder voice that reaches more people. But now when we're talking about it got so big to where we can turn elections, now the question becomes, can you still regulate it in the same way?
And what do you think about that?
Yeah, I previously wanted to have that principled approach that, hey, no, this is private. This is a private entity. It's their megaphone. They can have people use it how they want. But now when you see the repercussions, it makes you take pause. So I really don't know like what the answer is anymore.
We've got to go to break. We'll talk about this a little bit more when we come back. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
The song asks, why is the rich man busy dancing while the poor man pays the band? A home warranty doesn't climb on the roof to fix an AC. The AC man does. In AC service, avoid the middleman. Call your neighbor, the AC contractor, or call Air Central Heating and Cooling today.
Hey, Yuma. This is Cecilia Holland Braithwaite at El Dorado Broadcasters. They call me Miss Sunshine because I smile a lot and I try not to break hearts as I shed light on marketing and advertising ideas. Your business future can be bright when you tell your story the right way to the right people enough times. This could be your commercial, but instead, your future clients and customers are hearing me right now. I bet your story is better. Let's tell it. Call me at 928-329-3091.
What do you get when you combine the fun of a day out on the golf course with the thrills of bowling a strike or two, with the excitement of hitting a jackpot on your favorite slot machine? What do you get? All the fun under the sun. And that's what you'll find and more at Kokopah Casino and Resort, South Highway 95 in Somerton. Plan it all at KokopahResort.com.
In tough times, it can be difficult to know where to turn. If you or someone you know is looking for help, the Yuma Community Food Bank is here if you need a hand. We provide food and other resources to families, seniors, and individuals in need. We are open Monday through Friday. All you need to receive a food box is a photo ID with your current address. Visit our website at yumafoodbank.org for more information. The Yuma Community Food Bank also accepts donations in the form of non-perishable food, monetary donations, and volunteer help. You can choose to donate or advocate. You can choose to volunteer or raise awareness. You can choose to help end hunger. Call us anytime, 928-343-1243. Visit our main campus, located at 2404 East 24th Street, or use our food locator map online at yumafoodbank.org.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I am Attorney Tom Sparks here with Attorney Adam Hanson. We have Martine, special guest. Thank you for being here, Martine.
Thank you for having me.
Cody, as always, running the boards. We talked last segment about a little bit about freedom of speech, social media companies, and how the speech, if it gets too far broad and it has too far-reaching effects, maybe we need to treat these companies a little different. And we're going to kind of jump back into that. Adam, what do you think about that?
Well, you mentioned you used the word private company. And I liked how you said we're under the principled approach of if it's a private company, then they're free to do what they want. If it's the NFL and they say, go ahead, take a knee. We're going to do both the traditional American national anthem and we're going to do the new black national anthem, or whatever they do now, we're not going to do the national anthem at all. Traditionally, you would say, if you're a constitutionalist, in my opinion, you would say, yeah, they can do whatever they want. They are a private actor. They're not government. And therefore, the government can't force the NFL to, in their speech, which would be related to the national anthem, for example. That is the principled approach to it. But what happens when a private actor becomes so big or has such a large reach that they can influence things, and do they become subject? Should they become subject then to laws that don't allow them to take an opinion on something or form an opinion by virtue of editing or repressing voices from dissenting views? To me, I you ask my opinion. My opinion is you're either a platform that allows for all opinions. That includes hate speech. I think people should be able, if it's free speech, it's free speech, and we need to hear it. You know, that doesn't mean that it's right, but if a person wants to say mean, hateful things, and it's because of your race, your gender, or your religion, let them say it. And that is a true principle of free speech. You think our founders were immune to that? Think our founders didn't know about being slandered in the newspaper or being called something because of their race, religion, or gender? Of course they got that. I mean, they were big boys, and they were able to deal with that. Or they shot each other in a duel.
I mean, I want to know if somebody's racist or bigot or whatever, because now I'm not going to deal with them.
Exactly. So your true colors come out. And obviously, I mean, is it fun? No. Is it fun to hear those types of things? Words matter. Words have meaning. But at the same time, we never get to the, in my opinion, we never get to the bottom of something, the truth, if you will, unless you were able to hash out that issue. It might start with name calling and bigoted type slander or opinions, but the end result should end in, okay, we've come to a conclusion that either you're an idiot and you have no real dispute with the actual idea that's being proposed. You're just throwing out words and slanders and mean things, but you haven't really come up with any reasons why my idea is wrong or bad or we should do it another way. You're just, I don't like, this reminds me of my kids a lot of times. They're like, well, that's stupid. And it's like, why is it stupid? Because it's just stupid. I'm like, why? Why is this stupid? You have to have a reason why, or else it's not stupid.
That's a great point. Like when society starts behaving like children, there's something wrong.
Yeah. And I mean, that's happened for millennia. So what are you looking up, Tom? Looking you up fact-checking me?
No, no, not at all. I was looking up just a quote from that case that we mentioned earlier from New York Times v. Sullivan. And it, I think the court really had a good quote here. And it says, "Thus we consider this case against the background of a profound national commitment to the principle that debate on public issues should be uninhibited, robust, and wide open, and that it may well include vehement, caustic, and sometimes unpleasantly sharp attacks on government and public officials." So if you take that quote, you see the principle behind it is wide open debate sometimes can get ugly, and it's important that it not be inhibited for that reason. So when you're talking about platforms, for example, yeah, I think it's very important that they don't get in the way, because if they get in the way and they start putting guardrails on the conversation, then down the 10th order effect down the road is a police state where, you know, you can't say what you want to say. And we see that all over the world in other countries.
Yeah, in communist countries, China, mm-hmm. Russia. I think the Sullivan case, he was a politician, wasn't he?
Yes.
And so that was the question was, because people were coming at him, he was running for something. Was it in New York?
I think he was running for
Chicago.
Senate.
Oh, okay. So the question was, well, he sued because he's like, hey, you know, that's you're getting a little crazy. You call me all these names and all that stuff. But the court really ultimately in the Sullivan case came down and said, well, if you're a public official or you're a big time celebrity, then you are immune to like bad things being said about you. You're putting yourself in the public market, essentially, is what they said. And so you're going to be subject to that kind of stuff. Going back to what you said, I think, Martin, really, mm-hmm. The initial conversation was, should people be allowed to anonymously post stuff on our YouTube account if it's negative, or do mm-hmm. or should we not allow that? Should they have to have a face behind the name? And you said, well, I believe that if we're putting stuff out there on the public market, then we need to be willing to put our big boy pants on and take whatever comes that might be positive, it might be negative, right? You didn't even know you were right. You agreed with the Supreme Court. You didn't even
know. I knew I was right.
Oh. He knew. Quick fact check. Sullivan in that case was a public safety commissioner.
Okay. Public official.
Mm-hmm.
Close. Yeah.
Close.
I wonder why. I don't remember the facts of that case. It's been over a decade since we studied that in law school, but I remember Sullivan. I remember the case and the basic premise.
Yeah, the newspaper ad contains some factual inaccuracies, such as the number of times that Martin Luther King had been arrested, because they were trying to drum up money to defend Martin Luther King Jr. on perjury charges. And they published some stories that had inaccuracies about city officials that Sullivan thought reflected poorly on him.
Gotcha. What do you think, Cody? Should we be able to say whatever we want, whenever we want, on these public platforms like X, Twitter, or YouTube?
Until you get to be so big that you're your own target.
Are you guys, do you agree with me, or am I just crazy to say something like, even to the point of hate speech?
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
When I use the word hate speech, that means I'm calling Martin a name because of his race or his religion or whatever. I'm picking some sort of thing out, and I'm not necessarily making fun of him, but I'm being derogatory towards him because of that one thing, or Cody or
but
Thomas.
It shows your ignorance, and the only way to combat that is with correct speech, right. Positive speech.
It's a necessary evil. Like, nobody thinks that's correct behavior. But it's so important that we have a freedom of speech for these, you know, political reasons and the free, you know, free speech for freedom in general, that we're willing to tolerate the nastier side of it, because the good side is so important.
During the break, Martin, you used the word cyberbully.
Oh, yeah.
So we're kind of like in the same camp where,
yeah,
what I understand, if we're all in agreement that if you're going to allow speech, you got to allow all speech, which means that comes with
cyberbullying too.
Well, I don't know about that. So that's what my question is going to be to you, Martin. When does it reach the level of that's not okay? What would, in your mind, not be allowed, or the government should regulate? I'm thinking about like threats, a death threat, or you should go kill yourself, that kind of stuff. Should that be allowed?
Well, that's so funny that you bring that up, because I've seen in my generation where the term kill yourself has gone, like, it's devalued so much to where if somebody on the street just told me, like, oh, go kill yourself, I'd be like, okay, buddy, like, yeah, whatever. It's just so devalued now to the point where it doesn't hold anything, like, of substance. If somebody told me that, I'd just be like, oh, whatever, you know? Okay, cool. But unfortunately, it just has to happen. You can't filter something, but then take it away from other things. Does that make sense? I feel like I didn't.
No, I hear what your opinion is. Tom, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a dangerous road to walk when you start saying that, you know, these types of things cannot be said, and because it just leads to more regulation. But we do have laws like making threats, for example. You know, that's a criminal offense, so you can't say anything that's criminal, obviously, today. But the question, I guess, is what should be criminal? Man, I don't know where to draw that line.
What if an individual that's posting on this public forum gets attacked by these moron commenters like we've seen? We all know about them. They just have nothing better to do. And in those comments, they're saying, you should just kill yourself. You should kill yourself. And then they actually kill themselves. Mm-hmm. Should that poster, who was anonymous, we don't know who it was, should they be held accountable?
No, I don't think so.
Wow. Okay.
I don't think in that.
You didn't even like pause.
I don't think in that scenario.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I was really surprised that you did like that. Yeah. To me, it's more of a gray area. So
I don't think in that scenario that you just talked about, because I think that's an opinion that someone could have. Is, you know, you'd be better. The world would be better off if you died. That can be an opinion that someone has about me. And the onus is on me to be able to have thick enough skin and, you know, a good self-identity to where I'm like, well, you know, that is a little bit crazy. I'm not going to listen to that.
You told me you weren't going to tell people. I told you that.
Yeah. So I deal with that, you know, more often than people think. And I'm just kidding. So
yeah, you're military, so.
Yeah. But I think that the onus is on the individual to have some thicker skin rather than making that person who may also be very vulnerable individual who is lashing out because they don't have a great self-esteem to be criminal.
Daddy issues.
Yeah, or, you know, whatever it may be. But I think the free speech is so important that we don't criminalize it in that scenario.
Interesting.
But there are cases where recently where it has been criminalized, where if you go too far, where there's a case where a girlfriend was charged for texting her boyfriend, you know, to kill himself and
bad case.
Instructing him to do it. He texted back saying, maybe I don't want to go through with this. And then she pushed harder, and the court found that had she not, he wouldn't have. So she was liable for some crime.
Interesting. I wish we had all day to talk about this, but we got to go. This is Life, Death, and the Law. We'll talk to you next week.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Fraudulent tax returns due identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Their U.S.-based restoration specialists are dedicated to helping solve identity theft issues, and all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which means if you lose money because of identity theft, LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan. Help protect your information with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com and save up to 25% your first year with my name, Clay, as your promo code.
When life gets overwhelming, but you just don't feel like talking, help is only a text away. Trained and caring crisis specialists are available by text 24/7 to assist with suicidal thoughts, substance use issues, depression, anxiety, and more. You are never alone. When you need help, please text HOPE to 4HOPE. From anywhere in Arizona, text the word HOPE to 44673. This message is sponsored by Solari Crisis and Human Services.
If you're the owner and or operator of a local business and want to continue to hear the right talk, please consider advertising on KBLU. Your advertising dollars are the gasoline for the Clark, Kilmeade, Bongino, Hannity, Beck engine. Without your support, the old 560 just won't roll. Reach out to like-minded folks, the patriots listening to this legendary radio station. When you do, you can invite new customers in and remind regulars to visit more often. And most importantly, keep the programming you love on 560 KBLU.
The YMCA is just a starting line, for the true self blooms only when we find our purpose, what makes us tick below the surface. Find your why. Join today at ymca.org for a better us.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.